listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. My name is Wes Boss. With me, as always, is Mr. Scott Tolensky. And today we've got an awesome show for you. This is something that we just casually mentioned a couple shows ago, where we will review like resumes or websites or online presence, because we often get these questions from people being like, hey, I'm applying for all these jobs and like it's not working. And sometimes the questions we get are, we can't see why it's not working. And what Scott and I hypothesized was that it's probably something to do with how you come off initially via your resume, your Twitter, or anything. Your website probably is the biggest one that we'll have today. So we just mentioned that. And then somebody was like, hey, like, can you actually do that? And we just like put a tweet out there and we got probably at least 100 submissions.
Yeah, so, a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go through a whole bunch of them today and sort of just give our two cents, like we're anybody to say anything here. But I feel like I have a pretty good, I don't know, what do you call that, Scott? Like when you're viewing someone's vibe online?
Vibedar.
I got pretty good vibedar. I think Scott has good vibedar as well. Anyways, hi, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I had a very productive weekend and like not productive in the code sense, which is like usually how I spend my every waking thought is thinking about my sites or something. No, I got away from the screen like a good dad and just did a ton of house projects with Landon. Landon and I recruited him to help me paper shred. I recruited him to help me fix the bed. We were hanging up stuff. We were vacuuming. We were cleaning up Landon's room and organizing. Man, it felt so productive. It felt great.
Those are the best days where you just like feel on it and you just kind of blow through your list of things to do around the house. Because like nobody tells you about getting older that you'll have to spend part of your Saturday shredding paper.
All of my Saturday shredding paper.
I just get so annoyed at companies that send me stuff in the mail. And I went on like a rip. I don't know. I went on something a couple of years ago to be like, every time some piece of mail came in, I like called them. I'm like, how can I stop getting you sending me this paper in the mail? It stresses me out. I don't know what to do with it. Like, email it to me.
It's ruining the environment.
Yeah, it's ruining the environment. It's unnecessary. And I went through most of it, but I still get tons of it because of like legal requirements as to like they have to send you stuff. And I know there's services out there that will like scan your mail for you, but that doesn't seem safe.
There's like a couple of legit services. I went on a tear about this. Sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent.
No, let's hear it.
I went on a bit of a tear for this myself and found in the States, I don't know what it's like in Canada, there's a couple of actual legitimate lists and you can get yourself on with, like actually work with the main like credit score sites and everything, like credit score companies. And it will literally block you getting any credit card applications or anything. I have no idea if this is available for anybody outside of the States, but I'll maybe put a couple in the show notes because there were two services, one of which cost $5 forever. Okay, I'll pay $5. And the other one was awesome. Free. So I'll link those up in the show notes. And I haven't seen the results of it yet. I just did it the other day, but I am very focused on no more junk mail.
Oh, yeah. It's not even just junk mail for me. It's from like the government sends us all these letters about accounting and whatnot. And yeah, the junk mail is another. Accounting, taxes. We have like...
Oh, accounting. I thought you said they were sending you letters on counting. I was like, oh.
Accounting, yeah. So they tell us how to count. No, we have like a couple of business entities just because like I used to have an older sole proprietorship and now we have a new business entity. Yeah, yeah. And
I know how it is. Yeah.
Ooh, oof. Lots of stuff. Anyways, we are sponsored by three awesome companies. Speaking of getting rid of the some of your paper, FreshBooks, which is cloud accounting. They don't send me stuff in the mail, thankfully. Linode, which does cloud hosting, and Sentry does your error exception tracking as well as your performance tracking. Talk about them partway through the episode, but let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Well, I'm just going to start this off with just some hypothesizing about like, why is this stuff important? Like, why does impression matter? Like, shouldn't it just be like your skill set at the end of the day? Like, why does having a good impression when someone views your online website or whatever important? And I honestly think a lot of this stuff comes together to work in your favor when you're hunting for a job. And unfortunately, I see a lot of people who only start to pay attention to this stuff when it comes to looking for a new job. And by then, it's usually too late. I think a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about today is stuff that needs to just be curated over time. So, like, what goes into an online presence? What do you think is the most important, Scott?
Well, I was also going to add to what you were saying is that one of the biggest things for any company or role is fit. Like, not just like technical fit, but like organizational fit. Like, can this person fit in with the culture that exists in this company? And like some of these clues that we're going to be talking about, these first impression stuff, do quite a bit for, in general, giving you that vibe about what somebody's about, the vibe dar.
Totally. The vibe dar. Like, this is something that I got a lot when I was teaching at the boot camp. We would spend a lot of time talking to people being like, yeah, you have to like spend time on your website, but it's probably also a good idea to be active on Twitter, maybe write a couple blog posts every single year. And we got a lot of pushback from that, from students being like, I don't want to be popular online, especially coming from someone like me. People are like, oh yeah, Wes, you're like Mr. Popular on Twitter. Like, I don't want to be you. I'm not going to sell a course. I just want to work for a company. And that's frustrating for me because it's like, yeah, like this is not just about like being me and selling courses and things like that. It's not about being popular. It's about the relationships and positioning yourself in a place where you know what you're talking about. And I think sometimes people mix up having a rock solid network of people that they can count on, people they can help out, other people that can help them with like being this like quote unquote hated influencer that a lot of people start to see. So this is not about being popular on Twitter or whatever, but this is just about like having a rock solid network so that when the time comes that you need to go and get a job or reach out for someone or get a like a referral inside of a company, then that type of thing is going to work huge in your favor.
And also like consider that in particular, that's not something you have to do, but it's something that could make it a lot easier to land a job. Because you ever see those threads where people are like, I'm so-and-so, I'm looking for my next role. And if you have, you know, people in your network, they'll share it, retweet it. And next thing you know, you're going to have people coming to you. So like, it's a benefit to you, but it's not necessarily like a requirement. Okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I was talking about this to my buddy Henri Avatica on Instagram the other day. And he said, you don't know, he said this. I was like, can I share this on podcast? Because this is exactly what I'm trying to say. He says, you don't know how many times I've tried to convince people, especially people of color, to try a lightning talk, to get stuff. This stuff gets you to research and you might even make discoveries. So he's talking here about just doing like a 5-minute little talk at a conference or a pub night or something like that. I know it's a step out of the comfort zone for many, and that's cool, but don't get upset when those who got it land some work. Mm-hmm. I have a story for you. You know, I do lunch and learns at Juno, which is a boot camp, and I started to end them with a post boot camp life. I tell them how important it is to be active on Twitter, share what you read, what you're working on, listen to others, follow great devs. And then a couple of months later, someone DM'd me and said this: I never forget the time you gave a talk at Juno, and one thing that you emphasized was to make your voice known on Twitter. You said this had opened many opportunities for you, and that's been happening to me more and more recently. I never set out to build an account, but the growth indeed has happened alongside with it. Opportunities from people I never expected. Just wanted to share. Hope you're doing well. Smiley face. So I thought that was like a perfect example. It's like, yeah, I didn't set out to be like this person with tons of followers, but I did follow your advice of just like sharing what you're working on and being part of the conversation. And there you go.
Yep.
It shows up.
I had a question for Henri. If his name is pronounced Henri rather than Henry,
yeah,
like, is it Henri Helvetica? Like, do you...
Helvetica? That's a good question.
Yep. We're going to need some answers, Henri.
we'll have to have him on the show. He talks a lot about perf stuff, and that will give us Then how do you say Helvetica in French?
That's a great idea. That's a great question.
Helvetica?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep.
All right. So let's jump into it. So these are going to be a little bit visual. So if you're by a computer, you can pop open these websites as well. Otherwise, we're going to just try to drive home as to like why we think our vibe dar is going off.
Yeah. So the first one that we were going to do is from Ash Connolly. His website's ashconnolly.com. And he also linked us to a CV. So we're going to be talking about both his site and his resume. And so I don't know, how do we want to start this, Wes? I wrote some notes here. So like from the jump, if you go to Ash's website, for me, the first things that you get, his job title, his name, he's Ash Connolly. He's a software engineer, and he has a paragraph that says, using React, JavaScript, Next.js, and Cypress daily, currently at Skybet. I love building React applications, front-end architecture, component libraries, and design systems. I've been doing this for around 8 years and have had the pleasure of working with large clients like the BBC, WWF. That's the World Wildlife Foundation, by the way, not the wrestling. Microsoft, and further details and skills can be found on my CV. So first and foremost, it's a very strong start for Ash. He tells us very quickly that he's using new tech, and he has high-end clients. He even includes their logos, which is a nice touch, because for me personally, before I even read that paragraph, I saw the logos. So, you know, the logos to me would just pop out really quick and easy.
We got this question about the logos as to if that's allowed or not.
I think I even asked you that question at some point.
Yeah, it's probably not allowed, but just do it. Like, like the WWF is not going to come sue you for using their logo on your personal. They might, but they probably won't. And like, you're not going to get permission from the WWF to put their logo on.
Yeah.
On your personal website, but just be like, I've worked with these people in the past. It's totally fine to throw up a logo, and I highly doubt they'll ever come and say, hey, take that down. That's our panda.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, at first glance, I think, you know, it's very apparent who Ash is, what he's about, what he does. So clean, simple design, you know, sometimes like very simple designs can feel like it's missing something, but I don't think this feels that way. It feels like it's intentionally simple in the way that it is. It does some really nice subtle animations. I mean, the animations themselves aren't subtle, but they're used sort of subtly. Everything's not whizzing around. It's sort of like sliding doors and opening for different things. So that aspect of it's nice. It's nice and gentle with the animation. I think it's really nice that, like, so they give their little intro paragraph, they give their clients, and then immediately get into their work, where it shows, here's a photo, a graphic photo, here's a title of what the company is, and here's a short paragraph of what it is, and then a link to the site. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. It's important that there's 4 here, because I would imagine with a client base or previous work history that Ash has done more than these 4 projects. But these 4 projects are the ones that he wants to show. And I think that's important that it's curated, right? It feels like it's curated. And to me, that can often be a thing where people, when they get started, they just want to throw everything they've ever done because it feels like more is better, right? But chances are anybody who's hiring anybody is going to look at this thing and say, I know this person's done more than these 4 projects. So like, I don't need to see everything.
Totally. You just need to be able to like do a quick scan and say, all right, this person knows what they're talking about. And especially for the type of job that this guy's probably going to be applying for, like, it's not just like a, like the same app that everyone built in a bootcamp. This is real world. And one thing I really liked about this is that often, and I used to do this on my website when I had a actual portfolio, is I would talk about like the problems that were actually solved for the user. And the first one says, experiencing upwards of 300 logins per second, delivering fast, lightweight experience was vital. We carried out multiple performance audits in order to make the site as lightweight as possible. So it's not only like, yeah, we built this thing with this tech, but like we actually had a specific problem, which was this thing gets a ton of traffic. So it's really important to us to make this thing fast as heck. And I think showing the problem and how you solved it is really important.
Totally. And lastly, for the pros here, he has a section of testimonials. Well, he has blog posts one, which is a pro, obviously. But the testimonials, like, it's kind of interesting. I don't often see that in like non-product-based things. Like, I often see testimonials in product-based things. But he has a couple of, you know, Agile and DevOps delivery lead. I'm not going to say this person's name because I don't know if they've been, you know, approve of that. But like, so he has a couple of quote-unquote testimonials, 2 of them, just a one little paragraph. And it reminds me of on like LinkedIn when people say like something nice about you. And I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if I would leave the word testimonials. I don't know. That's a minor nitpick. I don't know if anybody really cares about the word testimonials there. It might be like referrals or something like that. But again, it doesn't matter. I don't think that matters. And I had some cons on the site, but they were kind of just nitpicky. One of which was, this is going to come off as super nitpicky, the footer has some like emphasized text in gold that aren't links, but elsewhere, text that's emphasized in gold without underlines are links. So just get rid of that, or you don't need it.
Yeah, just make it black. So it's true. I went to click on it.
Yeah, I went to click on it. And lastly, the HTML is good, but it's not great. It's missing some semantic elements. Like, for instance, your blog posts weren't in articles. So article would indicate that that particular piece of content not necessarily is a blog post, but is like a serial type of content, right? It's not necessarily like the main content. There's no main section. What I found odd is that the only one of your sections that was in a section tag was the testimonials. So that's the only one. It's minor stuff here, but again, pretty much just straight divs up and down the stack and some header tags. But I would take a look at that HTML just a little bit.
Now I'm wondering if my own website uses article tags and stuff like that. Let's check it out.
For those of you who don't know, I mean, I've been on the other side of the table as an interviewer and an interviewee. And one of the first things I do when I hit anybody's site, like even Ash's site, before I even scrolled down, I popped open the source because I want to have at least an understanding of what it looks like under the hood, or at least what's being sent to the browser.
Nice use of under the hood. I'm not using an article tag. I got to add that. Good review. Maybe we should have at the end, Scott reviews Wes's site and I'll review Scott's site.
Yeah.
So we won't spend much more time on this one, but he also linked his resume. The resume was in Notion, which I thought was really cool.
I like that. Yeah.
Very up to date, I guess. Like, especially like if somebody's using Notion, they go, and it's just text. There's a couple tables that link through it. Not too much. There's images on it as well. Links to writing. So, actually, you know what? It's pretty much the website, but in just like a portable format that could obviously be kicked out to a PDF. So I thought that was pretty interesting because I've usually, when people send over a resume, it's like DocX or PDF or something like that. So I thought that was kind of nifty.
Yeah, I really like most of Ash's resume, but I have some beef with a couple of things. One thing he listed in his summary, I thought this was kind of weird. Sorry, Ash, and I'm going to be critical here, but you know, people can disagree.
Go for it.
The sentence is, articles I've written have been featured on Free Code Camp, Marvel Blog, and shared by industry leaders such as Brad Frost and Smashing Magazine. The articles I've written part is good. The shared by industry leaders part kind of makes me feel weird. Like, I don't know how you feel about that. Because like, these people shared my thing. Like, who cares? That's kind of how I feel about that. I understand that that's like something to be proud of. Like when, you know, some of my favorite devs first liked something that I had created, I was like super proud of that. But I don't know if that's something that anybody will care about in a resume context. It might be nice to like screenshot that and just keep it in your own personal happiness bank or something.
Yeah. And something like that, I wonder, like, make sure you ask those people if that's okay. In the past, I've done like somebody like tweets something that they built at me and I'm like, oh, really neat, like, or sick, looks awesome.
It's not an endorsement. Yeah,
they'll take that tweet and like, yeah, like put it in the thing and be like, recommended by WestPoss. And
oh yeah,
that happens more often than you think, where people just take my likeness of this guy on being online and like try to use it as an endorsing their thing or whatever. So you definitely want to make sure you're not doing that.
A couple more things I think that could be useful for other people. He lists CSS and CSS3, HTML and HTML5 under languages.
Yeah.
It's 2021. Just put CSS, just put HTML. You know, there's no distinctions anymore. Lastly, the work history is a little bananas because for each one, he lists like the best one that he has here is the sentence that says carried out performance audits and site speed improvements. It's one sentence. It's short, but like the rest of them are several sentences, sometimes paragraphs. And there's like way too many of them. So for under each.
Yeah, no one's going to read that.
No one's going to read it. Under each of your work histories, here's my suggestion. 3 or 4 bullet points, one sentence for each of your work histories. I don't think anybody needs to see anything more than that. And that's what I've always gone off of. So Ash, thank you for submitting your site and resume. Hopefully the critical things we said don't hurt too bad. And we can all learn from them.
Yeah. Overall, awesome. Go check it out. What else should you be checking out, Scott?
Well, we should be checking out our books frequently because who knows? Maybe our credit card's been stolen or used for something, or maybe we want to do some predictive understanding of where our cash flow is going to be at next year. So maybe we're going to want to check out our accounts using a tool like FreshBooks.
Yes, FreshBooks is the cloud accounting software. And I'm not lying to you. While Scott was talking about Ash's website, I just went and paid an invoice using FreshBooks. So somebody sent me over an invoice, like my wife had forwarded it to me. I clicked on the link and it opened right up. in FreshBooks, and it just says, put your credit card in. So they enabled online payments, and it auto-filled my credit card perfectly, which not every single form ever does.
Yeah.
And it paid the thing right away. And I was like, man, like, it's not all that often that I get to experience FreshBooks on the other side of things. I'm usually doing my own expenses and my own invoicing and sending them out to clients. But I was on the other side of this where someone sent me an invoice and it was using FreshBooks and I got to pay it. And it was a joy. FreshBooks' big thing is they say, just get paid faster. That's very true. If that was any harder, like I had to log in or get an account or have like a number texted to me, then I wouldn't have done it while Scott was talking. But I literally just autofilled, hit submit, and the thing was paid. It's awesome. So if you got a small business, check it out, freshbooks.com/syntax. And make sure you enter syntax in the how did you hear about a section. Thanks so much to FreshBooks for sponsoring.
Sick.
Next one we have here is Matty.dev, MATTY.DEV. So this one was interesting. So he tweeted, he says, I'm not into UI. I'm more of a backend developer, and let me know what you think. So I thought, okay, this would be kind of a cool one because not everybody is a graphic designer or can afford to pay somebody to design an amazing thing out there. And sometimes when people are not designers, then they just go for the, like, they either try to do it themselves, which it can look good, but also can look bad, or you go get like a really common template, I can tell right away, especially somebody that's right looking away at 100 resumes. So Matty.dev, Matthew Bidwell sent this one. And I thought this was really, really awesome because it's very, very simple, but it gets the point across. So
can I jump in for 1 second?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, Matty, outside of the line height here, I would, you know, obviously bump up the line height just, you know, maybe like 1.5 or whatever it needs to be. But outside of the line height, this site looks great. I would, you know, I mean, it's simple. It looks, I mean, it's just a basic mono, whatever. It looks good. I mean, it's very simple, but it doesn't look bad.
No. I think that's a bit of a win there. So it's using a custom font, which is really cool. It's a really good domain name, Matty.dev. And when you visit it, right away, it tells you who you are. And I always like that about people's websites, because sometimes you go to a website and then you get this like 8 paragraphs of, I'm passionate about X, Y, and Z, and it's just like too much. So you land on it and says, I'm a software engineer with 6+ experience in creating well-crafted SaaS solutions using AWS. So in one sentence, who are you? What do you do? What kind of stuff do you work on? And how long have you been doing it? All those questions have been answered to me in one sentence instead of like 8 sentences, right? Like that's a really good thing about copywriting, is you take what you want to get across and then you distill it down and down and down. I do that with my course websites all the time. I just write and write and write. And then you figure out, how do I get this across in as few words as possible? It goes on to say, I'm part of a team over at A Million Ads, where I help build highly scalable, low latency services, Bemoji. When I'm not programming, my distractions include drone cinematography, cybersecurity, and browsing record stores. You can find me on Twitter, scrutinize my code up on GitHub, and get in touch via LinkedIn. And then there is a link to a couple blog posts. So this is amazing. It's not even half of my screen, and he got across everything I want to know. Where can I find you on Twitter? Where can I find your code? If I am the type of person who peruses LinkedIn, I can find that. And then I think most important is a blog post. So like, I don't know anything about this guy, but just by looking at the landing page here, the fact that there is 2 blog posts about Rust, I think this guy's probably pretty smart. And I don't even know. I haven't even read the blog post.
You made a blog post about Rust? You smart.
Yeah. Probably pretty smart. And like, but to me, it shows that somebody that cares enough to write a little blog post about a specific topic that they ran into shows me like I would probably want to hire somebody like that, because they care enough about how to do, here we go, a look into how Rust handles referencing variables as they change scope. So someone who cares enough about variables changing scope to write a blog post about it probably cares enough about the code they're going to be writing for your company.
Totally. That's a good assessment.
Yeah. That's all I have on that one. That's it. Cool. It's just a half a page, but I thought it looked pretty slick.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going to be doing these at maybe like different amounts and different levels of scrutiny or whatever. So I think the end result of this is for everyone to get some takeaways here of like, you know, where these things are, but like also like little tidbits of things that you can take away for your own work. So next one is going to be from Leah Lundquist. And I wonder if Leah is related to Henrik Lundquist, That'd be pretty cool. Her website's at leia.link, which is a pretty neat URL. It's nice. It's a nice short URL. And her site is really, really cool. When you click on it, there's sort of like a gradient, like a multi-corner gradient that's changing very subtly, reminding me of LED lights behind a diffuse something. So it's got that look to it. It's really nice. And the animation that's happening isn't too crazy. It just says Leia L and it animates in a neat sort of way. When you click on it, that's all it does. And it links to GitHub, Twitter, Discord, which does a neat little, if you hover over the Discord link, it does this really cool animation. It's like a fade in. It shows the Discord number. It says, hello there. My name is Leia Lundquist. I make websites usually in React. Sometimes I write servers for those sites, often in Node.js. Oh, and on occasion, I poke at iOS apps and Swift UI too. And this is the whole site. Links to GitHub, Twitter, Discord. Now, if you go to her Twitter, she's very active on Twitter. In fact, that's how most of the things that I've learned about her work have been is via Twitter, right? Discord, it could be helpful for getting in touch, but I mean, that's kind of not necessarily anything that a job person would look at. The GitHub link is probably the most useful of these three links because she has a really nice, whatever that GitHub, that new GitHub bio landing is, it's a really nice one.
Oh, I need to get one of those.
Yeah, it's really nice. It talks a little bit about, you know, what she does and how you can reach her. And then it has 6 pinned tweets. So her GitHub page right off the bat is like nice, but I'm going to say that.
Pinned repos, not pinned tweets.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Did I say tweets?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, so pinned repos. And so right off the bat, like those aspects of this, you know, online presence are very good. So the good lead paragraph, good aesthetics, the site looks nice, the GitHub. But I think she's making us do too much work off the bat. Like, yes, I'm going to click through to your GitHub, but I kind of want to see some bit of something other than that without me having to click through your GitHub. For instance, here's a small little bit. I know via Twitter that Leia has released this iOS app that's really nice. It's like a minimalist 2FA app. And I saw that on Twitter. But I don't see that anywhere else. I think that's the only place I can find it. And if that wasn't a recent tweet, I wouldn't even have known that existed at all. But it looks nice and it's a project that you can use to show off. So I think there needs to be some sort of way on her personal site or in some sort of capacity to say, here are some cool projects that I've worked on. We don't have her resume in front of us, so maybe that's something she would include in the CV. But right now, she's making us hunt a lot for the work that she's actually done. Because beyond that, I'm not going to hunt any further to find any more things because I don't want to take that time. So you need to make things a little bit easier on people, especially if you're sending them to your site. Even if it's just one page with a bulleted list of here are some projects and here's some links. That's all I do on my site. And like, really, that would be better than having nothing, right?
Yeah. I just clicked through to her Twitter and this is the first time I'm seeing it. And the Twitter comes off super well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think like that's another part to think about, especially like, at least in our industry, Twitter seems to be the like de facto, that's where you link people to. Like at the end of a conference talk or a blog post or something like that, usually people will link off to their Twitter, which is really cool. And the pinned tweet on her Twitter right now is an AR kit demo of what a magazine could look like in augmented reality. And it's just like this amazing.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Mind-blowing thing. And like that reminds me of when I would do the webcam demos like 8 years ago. And people would be like, whoa, it's unreal. You can put glasses over top of video. And like, that's the kind of stuff that got people interested in hiring me. And I know that for sure, that's the kind of thing that gets people hiring if they're looking at a Twitter. So it's really, really interesting to see that kind of stuff. And then you scroll down as well. And my favorite thing when you are going through somebody's Twitter is like a good balance. And this is just my own personal opinion, a good balance of like personal life interests, as well as like tech interests. And if you just do a quick little scroll through hers, you see lots of coding stuff, lots of tech stuff. So yeah, right there. I think like on the flip side, this is not necessarily the person we're talking about here, but sometimes when I think about following someone, you scroll through their Twitter and just look at the latest 10 tweets. And if like 90% of them are complaining about like an airline, or sometimes tech people don't use their Twitter for mostly tech. It's like 1% tech and the rest is just whatever else Twitter is used for.
Yeah.
And that's not bad that you do whatever you want, but I personally don't like following people like that. So I think that this one comes off real good.
Yeah. One time, Wes, I could not get a hold of the Ford Motor Company in any way whatsoever. This is like 2011. I tweeted some photos of like the state that Ford left my car in after.
Oh, you told the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Having to replace the engine and all that stuff. Yeah. They actually got me a new car because of it. So I got a new car. That's I got a true. New car because of Twitter.
And I'm not to say that like that's unfortunately the best way to get notice of a lot of companies
totally.
Is to start to try to shame them online. I'm more talking about people who just use their Twitter as like a constant complaint stack, or they're just like use it to like do infighting on, especially like at least in my city, that like the local politics scene. When I first moved here, I started following a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of locals who were really involved and everything like that. And then it just turned into this very toxic, like, people trying to dunk on each other with these like quote tweets and stuff like that. I was like, no, that's not the kind of thing I'm into. So I unfortunately had to unfollow all those.
Yeah, I hear you.
Next one we have here is from Ismail Galu, which, by the way, I was like, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. And I clicked through to his LinkedIn and I didn't even know this, but LinkedIn allows you to put a little pronunciation audio thing right beside someone's name so you know how to say their name.
What?
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
That's such a helpful little feature. Is if you want, like if you've got a call with somebody or whatever, you could just quickly jump on and see how to pronounce someone's name. So you just also ask them how to pronounce their name, but it's helpful to have that ahead of time.
I still love that when we contacted Pavel Grzybek, I messaged him and asked him, like, how do we pronounce your last name? And he sent me an audio clip of him saying it. And I was like, this is the best.
Oh, that's awesome. So the website here is SMAKOSH. How would you say that? Smakosh? Smosh?
Don't do this to me. Smackish.
Smackish.com. And I sent this one to Scott and I said, I think this is one of the best ones. And Scott says, I'm not sure. And then I said, all right, let's save it. Save it for the podcast. So you land on the website and clear explanation off the bat. I'm Ismail Gallo, also known as Smackosh, a self-taught full stack dev, a graphic and UX designer. I help founders add value to society by crafting software with JavaScript tools. I love open source and building side projects. So very clearly who he is, what he does right off the bat. There's a listing of skills, which is okay. I don't necessarily...
It's a thumbs down for me on the skills list.
Yeah? Why don't you like it when people list their skills? Like, don't they have to?
Yeah, because, okay, so I think it could be done in a better way. This is a lot of space being taken up for three generic icons and a link to see the tech tools I use. I think all of these skills part could be part of this first initial paragraph.
Yeah.
And maybe even not part of the first initial paragraph. If you wanted to like have it be like a subheading, it could just be like full stack development hyphen UI and UX development hyphen graphic design. Like that's all that's needed.
It does say that in the opening line. So maybe it's not necessary. And I think I know why.
It just feels too much.
It's because if you scroll down to there's some more things. Featured work, shared on Behance, shared on Dribbble, my open source work, and my articles and testimonials. So this guy's got a very impressive list of design work, development work, sharing stuff on all these different design social networks, sharing on GitHub. And I was quite honestly pretty surprised and impressed at all the work that was on this page. I think this is why I like it, because like proof is in the pudding at the end of the day. And when I hit these like skills, like buttons, I'm not sure if you design these or if these are just like ones that you buy as part of like a pack. It feels like these are something that you see these a lot. I think that's probably why you don't like it. Is this is like a standard, I do this. Here's an icon for the thing I do. I do this. Here's an icon for the thing I do. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. But also like, why is UX and UI design and then also graphic design? Like, I think you only need one of those, one of the two of those. But like, I think it's just a lot of unnecessary space being taken up for what could just be illustrated in a subheading.
Yeah.
And like, if this was adding something majorly visually for me, like, then I would say keep it. But like, it doesn't add anything visually that's impressive or anything. It's just like taking up space is the way I see it.
Totally.
It also makes it feel a little bit more like a template.
Yes. I think that's what it is. It feels like a template. And then you scroll down and see the side projects that he's created. The dribble, you can click through the dribble. I usually really like that when somebody links off to their Dribbble or their GitHub or something else that's on like a social network, because it's like, all right, I can actually see that you are very involved in what it is that you're doing. The Dribbble alone is enough of a resume to say, all right, this guy knows how to do design. And then you scroll down and you see links to a bunch of JavaScript. They're primarily Gatsby repos here, which is really cool. And then articles. So care enough to not only design the stuff and contribute to the open source, but also write blog posts about it. And then there is talks, which I personally think that's one of the best ways to elevate yourself amongst other people is write talks and give them, especially right now, as all these conferences are online. If you're in a position where you can't necessarily take time off or travel, right now you can do these online conferences, and that really, really helps. And then there's some testimonials from like Guillermo from Vercel.
That's a 5-star gold testimonial right there. Here's a testimonial from Guillermo that says, one of the best Jamstack engineers I know. You know what? Just take that.
What more do you want?
Put it on the header of your site.
So I thought that this was probably one of the best like deliveries, because I scrolled through this website in about a minute and I had a very good idea as to skill set, as well as like proof is in the pudding in terms of like, this person is not just like writing, I know how to do JavaScript, but they're showing me that they can because of all of the examples and blog posts and talks and stuff like that they've given.
Yeah, I like all of those aspects. The aspects I don't like are almost always like exclusively visual, like the things that make it feel like a template. You know, like the services section. You don't need the services section. It's just a repeat of the skills section, which is kind of unnecessary anyways. You like, who's that for, I guess? But yeah, I for the most part, I 100% agree with you. There's some neat little animations and nice little touches here. The dark mode, I think, could use some love, but that's just visually thing. The site looks better in light mode, but when you go to dark mode, there's some issues.
Oh man, but having dark mode, that just shows you're up on it, you know?
Yeah. And I still stand on the ground of, if you really want to impress people, put a little theme switcher in there, give you some themes. You don't have to have too many themes. Throw a little bit of
Stripe mode,
90s mode, whatever you want. That to me would like a dark mode today would not make me say, wow. It'd make me say, okay, they got a dark mode. But like, having a theme mode, you may say, ooh, wow, okay, cool. Somebody's thinking, you know what else? If you were really wanting to get your site hosted and on a nice host, where would you host it? If you wanted to host your site on a nice host,
I would probably choose Linode, which is one of our sponsors today.
Whether you're working on a personal project or managing enterprise infrastructure, you deserve a simple, affordable, and accessible cloud hosting solutions that allow you to take your projects to the next level. Hey, I know what I'm talking about, next levels. That's what I do. Simplify your cloud infrastructure with Linode's Linux virtual machines and develop, deploy, and scale your modern applications faster and easier. Get started on Linode today with a $100 free credit for listeners of Syntax. So you just need to head on over to type in your browser. Oh, fire up that browser. Don't go under the hood. Just head to the URL bar. Type in linode.com/syntax. And you're going to get $100 free credit. That's 100 buckaroos. Linode has 11 global data centers that provides 24/7, 365 human support with no tiers and handoffs, regardless of your plan size. In addition to shared and dedicated compute instances, you can use your $100 credit on S3 compatible object storage, manage Kubernetes, and more. Visit linode.com/syntax and create the Create a Free Account button to get started. Thank you for Linode for sponsoring Syntax.
One thing I'll mention as we're in between here is I'm just going through the DMs. Well, a bunch of people sent me their CVs and whatnot, and they wanted to just remain anonymous. And one sort of thing I'm noticing in these is that the people have to write me a couple sentences about who they are and what's kind of stuff they do. And then they often like say, sorry, it's not good at X, Y, and Z. And I'm automatically thinking like, if it's not clear about who you are and what you do from me clicking on your website right away, you shouldn't have to like write that in a DM to me, because that should be available to literally everybody. And then also like, I don't know if this is just because people are nervous to submit it, but there's like often like a little apology of like, oh, sorry, it's not perfect on this little bit. Or they sort of like say, yeah, I'm not super happy with it. You know how people, when they present something, they sort of like, oh, what's the word for that? They preface it with like, ah, sorry about this, or it's not the best ever or whatever. And it's like, stop doing that. Like, be proud of your stuff. If there literally is something you're not happy with, then fix that. Cause this is your resume and this is your online persona and whatnot.
Preach.
This other one we got sent to is jhay.dev, jhay Tompkins. Have you seen this one, Scott?
I have. I'm looking at it right now.
There's sound on it. I immediately went to it and there's a little bear. And as you move your mouse, the glare on the bear's sunglasses moves. And then you hover over the bear, it tilts its head. And I immediately was like, that's Whimsy. That's Whimsy right there. And then I went to his Twitter profile and Whimsy's in the Twitter profile. So obviously doing a great job there at, like, he says, I'm about Whimsy. But before I even saw his Twitter profile, I said, oh, this is Whimsy, right? So like doing a good job at like getting across what it is that he's all about. There's sound when you click on the nav, which I need to add that to my website. That's so nice. And then it's just like very clean design, writing, links to different like hundreds of blog posts that he's written. Obviously, this guy is content creator. Stuff looks awesome, but just does like a really good job at having a nice clean design and getting across all the stuff with a bunch of like little fun little nuggets and whatnot. Cause like that's the kind of thing that somebody is going to be visiting 100 websites. And when the bear turns rainbow, when you hover over it, they're going to remember that and be like, oh, all right.
See, I disagree about the bear rainbow. And yeah, this is one of my critiques with this site. Did you know about Party Corgi?
Yes.
Party Corgi?
Yeah.
Party Corgi is a, you know, prominent community, and they do that exact same thing. It's a corgi, you hover over it, and it does that same rainbow effect. So for me, when I see this, I'm thinking, is this person taking on, like, an identity, like a party corgi, like I am part of, like, I don't know if this person is a part of that. But to me, it automatically says, like, this, it's not a unique identity. It's like, this is some other identity that I'm applying to my own bear. That's the way I see it. But I know you might not see it that way. And again, this is part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like, it's good to hear it from like multiple people. And like, it's also probably worth putting it in front of somebody who is actually hiring people on a regular basis to see what type of thing they think. But I just, I like it. I don't know.
And that's cool.
Maybe it's because I'm not super up to speed with what Party Corgi is, but I think rainbows is a pretty safe thing to do on the internet.
I don't have beef with being a rainbow. What I have beef is it being the exact same thing that the Party Corgi header does, is what I'm saying. It's a corgi. It's a cute animal. You hover over it, the interior of it animates the exact same way. That's my beef with it. It feels unoriginal. My beef isn't that it exists, because I think it's dope. I just, you know, I'm slightly concerned about if it's original or not. You know what I really like about this site? He has really good use of both CSS animation as well as SVG animation. For instance, he has a little J writes, and there's a piece of paper doing a kind of neat 3D isomorphic type of thing. And it's all in CSS. And you know what? That's fantastic. It's fantastic that it's in CSS, because you get a good vibe that based on his projects and his demos, that he's into like Whimsy CSS things. And so to include something in the site itself, outside of the context of like, here is just some goofy, you know, 3D thing I did in CSS just for fun. This is like actually a design element in the page. To me, I do dig that. I'm on Safari, so, you know, who knows what the world is going to look like outside of Safari. There's some weird clipping going on in some of the demos. So maybe give that a look on Safari. Some other maybe aesthetic things I have with the site. The typography feels off to me. Does it feel off to you?
No.
Feels a little cramped to me, especially the line height and maybe some of the margins on the headers. I mean, I'm not a typography master. He also has these little like drag bars. How do you feel about these drag bars? So he has like a testimonial and then like a slider, and you pull the slider. It's like an HTML slide element or a HTML.
Which page is this on?
The homepage.
Where's the slider bar?
Right. I know you might have overlooked them because they're not obvious what they do or why they're there.
It's under testimonials.
You see the header?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So there's a UI where you, I just thought that was a like a horizontal ruler with a dot on the end.
Right. Exactly.
But when you slide it, there's no way that like a hiring manager would see that thing and know to change the content. Oh,
it's neat, but it has to be either more obvious, more of a design element, more connected. Also, for the fact that it's like just directly above the header of them feels weird to me. I would expect it to be below it, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than top of it, maybe more emphasis, maybe some indication that you should be clicking and dragging. Maybe I know people hate auto carousels and stuff like that, but after some amount of time, man, if nobody knows that there's this design element to move these things, you got to show them that it can do something.
Totally. I agree.
Man, that sound is super satisfying, though.
Yeah.
When you can change the pages.
Who was it that we had on that did the sound initially?
I don't remember.
Josh Comeau.
Oh, yeah, Josh.
His website has sound on it,
yeah.
Which is joshwcomeau.com. I'm going to add sound to my website. I just think that is so, so satisfying. Just like, not like obviously very obnoxious sound, but nice little pops and clicks so that when you do something, you know that something happened.
Yeah.
And if you're using Gatsby or Next or any of these things, you can hook into the router events and just like start play them on route begin and route finish.
Yeah, totally.
One thing I will say about a lot of these resumes that I've got in is a lot of people still using text-align justify. That makes your text like even on both sides. I find that really hard to read. That was big with like newspapers, right?
Yes. I don't like it either. It doesn't ever look good on the web. Yeah.
All right, for the last couple, I just sprung this on Scott and we're into it. We're going to be brutally honest about each other's websites.
Is good because I don't care about my website.
We'll say, okay, good. I spent a lot of time on mine. So that's fine, though. I am very much open to feedback. And also, sometimes I don't care. See, why don't you start off and let me know what you think about my website, both good and bad. We already established I'm not using article tag on my blog post, so that's wrong.
So Wes isn't using article tag. It's a big knock for me. I'm going to go two thumbs down for no article tag. What is that? What's his name? Doug DeMuro. The doors don't open here, so he gets 1 point off for that.
Yeah.
And 5 points for this because the car is very nice to drive, but of course.
Oh, man. Yeah. This reminds me when I taught the boot camp. We had somebody who was like, I forget what their test status was, but basically they were like really good at making websites, probably a web developer, but they were like a head of an agency or something like that. And he said, all right, I'm going to do a website review. Does anyone have a website that I can review? And one of the students yelled out a website that I had built like 2 months earlier, but they didn't know that I had built it. So I had to sit through this like hour long thing of them like tearing apart the entire website, which was hilarious because like half of it was like, well, you have no clue like why we did it that way or what the constraints were or what we're hoping to get done here. But as an outsider, it's interesting to hear it. All right, give it to me.
Constraints. Okay, so first and foremost, inspecting the source. It is super minified except for a bunch of CSS. So the source is kind of useless.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have a step in my build process that because Gatsby minifies your stuff, or not Gatsby, it's JSX, React DOM minifies it by default. And I had wrote a step that prettifies it. And I had to take it out because it was just like adding like 5 minutes to my build step. But I agree. I hate it when you can't view source. Yeah.
I like to see it. Yeah. But aesthetically, I think it's no surprise that your site looks very buttoned up. Like you said, you spend a lot of time on it and it's apparent. One thing that the big monitor thing is really cute. When you stretch the browser really wide, it comes up with some text saying you have a big monitor, which is fun. And it would make me smile and laugh.
That's whimsy.
It's whimsy. I like the aesthetic overall. The hover animation is very like pleasing. It's not distress. It's the right kind of animation. With animation, you can sometimes get over. You can make it too obnoxious. You can make it too over the top. This to me is very like subtlety. It's just like a grunge pattern that changes when you hover. It has some squares. It's nice. One thing I don't like about your nav. Here's something I don't like about your nav. And it's hard to say this because it's the link to the Syntax podcast has no indication that it's going to take you offsite.
Other people have said this.
It would kind of be difficult to do. But in the same regard, if it's in the main nav and it's taking you offsite, I kind of like some sort of indicator to let me know that it's going to be opening up a new tab. But
would you do? Like maybe like a little arrow in one of the corners when you hover?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like it.
Yeah. Obviously, I think anytime you're adding this like little animation sprinkle when you hover over things, I think it's a good look. The site doesn't look like anything else I've seen before, so I really like that aspect of it. It doesn't feel like it's trendy, which is a big thing. So many of those ones you're seeing, you can tell exactly whose website they saw before they started making theirs. The text is fairly easy to read. Some of it gets lost for me, but I'm looking at it from kind of far away. One thing that I do have a little bit of beef with on the header is this, like, the background image you have of you is a good image and it feels really nice. But when your browser is wider, not like very wide, but like wider, the image stops and then it's white and then it's black. It's like you've got a double border here. If it were me, I would have that image stretch all the way.
Oh, I see. Like, I think I tried that, but
it looked weird.
Yeah, because people have like 5K monitors and then all you would see is my like arm.
But what if you did like you pinned the top center to be the like the pinpoint? So you did like a background size and had the background size position be like in the center middle top. So that way your head is always going to be in the same spot. To me, that would feel better.
Oh, I see.
I'm hardly ever looking at monitors this wide anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
I like your custom scroll bar. Custom scroll bars can be obnoxious sometimes. They can feel out of place or they can feel like extra padding. But to me, it feels nice and part of the site.
I really hate it when people don't have custom scroll bars on a black website because then it looks like it's just this like white track. And I don't know if this is just like a Firefox thing or not, but I see it a lot lately. I'm just like, ugh.
So you're going to be giving me a thumbs down on my site for that. I got a black site and no scroll bar. But for the most part, I think the biggest things about your site that are most impressive, courses, free and premium, about me, blog, tips, speaking, uses, contact. Like these are all the things that I would ever want to see out of you. You tell us exactly what you're going to do. Hey, I'm Wes. I'm here to help you become a really good developer. Like it tells you exactly who you are, what you've done, who is your daddy and what does he do, all that stuff. And it's so easy to find anything that you've done. But then when you do find the things that you've done, like the tips page, and you have that neat little cross out on the pagination, like the site's a delight. Wes, the site's a delight. And it's obvious that you spent a lot of time on it. I really enjoy it. But I think more importantly, it makes you come across as very impressive. And I think it does an effortless job at that. So good job.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, I think it's funny you say like that's the kind of vibe because like the type of person that's visiting my website is not like a hiring manager. It's other developers. So whenever I like make whether it's a course website or whatever, I'm like, I need to kind of flex for these devs. Because if there's like one or two little things on the website, like the hover animation is stepped, which I didn't even know was a thing, then it's just like, like that triggers something in your head. It's the same thing with the sound on these other websites we were just talking about. Like that makes something stand out to me. And if your audience is, honestly, even if it's not other developers, little things like that, people browse the web every single day. And when there's something neat that pops out, then that sticks in their head.
Yeah. I do want to stress that my site is used as a playground for me. So
okay.
I do want to stress that.
Okay. Not as a, it's different, totally different use cases for us. So let's take a look. ScottTolinsky.com. I see you use the www by default and it redirects there. Is there any reason why you do that? There's some drama around that lately, I think.
Yeah. So at some point I learned that Apex domains have some really interesting like special cases that like make DNS to be a giant pain. So ever since then, I always default to www regardless of the situation. It doesn't matter in my eyes because now the browser doesn't even show it. So no matter what you do, like Safari doesn't show www, it just says scotttolinsky.com.
Oh, you're right.
Even though we get that redirect. So like to avoid any DNS headaches, or if I need to do, for instance, I think there's like something with redirects and Apex domains and SSL certificates that can get you into some really hot water. So to avoid any of that, I just went straight WW.
Awesome. All right. What else do we got here? So you visit the website, it says Scott Tulinski. You have a link to your Honeypot documentary, which is awesome. That's like the best way to like, if you've got time, here's exactly what I'm about. And it just gives it across. They asked me to do one and I was like, yeah, we'll do it in a bit. And now that they're not doing them right now, I believe, because of Corona.
You got some regretsies.
Yeah, kind of regretsies. Because like I see them, I'm like, damn, that's nice to have. Anyways, web developer, creator of Level Up Tutorials. I think that font's a little bit big for me. I think I gotta like move back a little in order to read it. This is hard because this whole episode is hard for me because I don't like being critical of people or even feedback.
One of the best parts about this was is this font was maybe twice as large. And I was just like, yeah, maybe I could cool it a little bit on that.
One thing is the spaces and the pipes. I was like, ooh, how's that going to do on screen readers? And I just tried it out and it works really well. It says web developer, creator of Level Up Tutorials, co-host of Syntax FM. So it like it does like the appropriate pause in between each one. So I'm not sure if that was intentional.
I think those should be links. Do you think those should be links? Syntax.fm, Level Up Tutorials?
Yes. Syntax needs to be a link for sure. Link it off to people. Because like the amount of times I talk to people and they're like, oh, you have a podcast? I'm like, oh man, like sometimes I take for granted that everyone knows everything that we do. But even on the podcast, people, you have courses? Like there's a lot of people that just know us from the podcast. They found us by searching web development on iTunes or Spotify or whatever. They don't know that, we're also on Twitter. And somebody the other day thought that you were the Canadian one.
People often think that my voice is your voice and your voice is my voice, despite the fact that we always say who we are at the beginning of each episode.
Yeah, it's for those listening, I am Wes.
I'm Scott.
The animations between the pages is awesome. Again, that's not something that you see on a lot of websites. So immediately I'm impressed at it. It's nice and quick. Your about is super clear. Like you can read it really quickly. Hi, I'm Scott Tulinski. I own and make web development tutorials for Level Up Tutorials, releasing new premium series every month. Like good. Like that. Some people are so wordy of trying to get across what it is they do and whatnot. And it's just very clear here.
I've never been accused of being wordy.
I also co-host Syntax FM with Wes Boss. Syntax is popular, lighthearted web development podcast that teaches full stack topics while staying fun. It's good.
I copy and pasted that from the Syntax site.
Oh, beautiful. I enjoy b-boying as well as breakdancing and have been dancing for 15 years. Doing professional stuff for the NFL, NBA streams. I'm inspired by a hot cup of tea, excellent music, and Shaw Bros. Kung Fu movies. See?
Shaw Bros.
I really like when people show a little bit about their personal life in their website because I don't think I need to explain why, but I just love to see other sides of people. Web developers are multifaceted. And even on my own website, I like to work on road racing bikes. And the amount of emails I've gotten from people, which are like, hey, I also have a bike. Here's a picture of it. And then they go into what they want to say. And it's just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Oh, I got to do this. The embedded talks from YouTube.
This page is ugly. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, it doesn't look amazing, but it has all the stuff embedded, which I definitely need to do myself. Work is pretty good. Again, the font a little bit big on me. Maybe I got to zoom out.
I'm going to go bigger.
Yeah. See, I zoomed out to 67%. And it's much more bearable for me. And then your blog posts need some work. I think you said you were just playing with that anyways.
Click on one of the blog posts and check out that neat little animation that you get.
Whoa, that's cool. That's good. It definitely has an aesthetic, which I really like. Like you're not trying to make it super fancy or whatever. You just say like, look, this is black, white, and yellow. And It's good. And then you got your uses page as well, which from the guy who created the uses page, I think you're going to need some work because there's no keyboard on there. There's no phone. Yeah, we need a couple of things. You just got the new keyboard too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
All right. So hopefully that is, I don't know if that was a super good review or not of your site, but that's my thoughts. overall pretty good.
What about the HTML, Wes?
Oh.
What about the HTML? Is it nice?
Let me see this.
How's that HTML? I think it's nice.
Oh, yeah. I got a nav tag, a main tag.
The site's super fast, too. Also, can you talk about how fast the site is?
Yeah. If you actually, we talked about this on a previous episode. If you go into DevTools and just like load the site, it loads in. Oh, that's not a good example because there's a YouTube video on it. If you go to a page that doesn't have a YouTube video on it, it's like 88K with a font.
Yeah. And then this is for all the people who say the JavaScript sites can't be fast or performant or whatever.
No kidding.
Like, this site doesn't have much going on, but it's tiny.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome that you can get it to go that fast. I'm just curious. So like, I'm going to go to my uses page. So your uses page is 88K. I think we did this previously. I bet mine is like 3-something.
Yeah, how much of that mine is the font, too?
Mine says 1 meg. Oh, it's because of the images. Oh, you know why? It's because I in the footer of my pages, I pull in Instagrams and Twitter images and a couple other banners as well. They are compressed from what Instagram gives you, but they are loaded on every single page. But those are lazy loaded, though, so it doesn't matter about the initial page load.
Word. I thought this was a lot of fun. I think we should do this on a semi-regular basis.
Yes, I agree. Let us know, you, the listener, what you think of this one, how we can improve it, what you did and what you didn't like, because I think this would be a fun way to give feedback on people's stuff.
Absolutely. Cool. So now is the part of the show where we get to talk about sick picks, which are things that we find to be sick. Wes, do you have a sick pick locked and loaded? I got one ready for you to go.
No, you go for it. I'm just thinking of mine.
Okay, I think you'll like this one if you have not heard of this item that I'm about to sick pick right now. So, Courtney bought these things that I'm going to refer to as like kitchen chamois. Do you ever use a chamois cloth to wash your car? It's like a very specific kind of texture.
Yes, yes. I'm a chamois enthusiast, so I'm curious to see what you say.
Oh, whoo. Okay, so these are basically they're called Swedish dish towels. They're biodegradable, reusable microfiber cleaning dishcloth rags. I told Courtney, I mean, these are basically chamois is really what they are. So they're what we're going to be using permanently instead of paper towel for literally everything. Because they're biodegradable, they're reusable, you can reuse them, throw them in the washer, you can put them in the dishwasher, and they have a limited amount of X, Y, and Z uses in terms before it starts to really break down. But when it does break down, just throw it in the compost bin and it's compostable.
Ooh.
So it's fantastic. So they're super cheap and they have a nice little grid texture on the bottom that does a surprisingly good job of cleaning and scrubbing. So I've been using these exclusively for about like a week or so now, and I am totally sold on it. Like when Courtney first brought these in, I was like, oh, okay, so it's a chamois for the kitchen. Okay. But like, no, they're very, very good. It absorbs more water than a chamois does. It's not just pushing it around. But you do kind of get it wet, you squeeze it out, whatever, and it is very, very good. And I can feel much better about using it than using paper towel or something that's just going to be like a one single use term thing and might end up in the trash bin or something.
Are these the ones where they're like hard and then you get them wet and they become super soft?
They're like a hard sheet.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
They're awesome. Yeah. Big fan of these. Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. They're not too expensive. $15 for 10. So if you think like if everyone replaces like one roll of a paper towel, then you're coming out on top.
Like I find myself, I mean, because they're washable, reusable, whatever, I've only used a handful of them in the week and like maybe like 3 or 4 so far. And I've done some pretty nasty spills. Let me tell you, I have earned the nickname the King of Spills. So I know a little bit of something about spills.
Like you've used 3 or 4 in the week. Do you wash those then or is that it then? You still wash them, right?
We just did our first run of washing them and they came out really nice.
Awesome. So they're not even done.
They're far from done. They got some pretty greasy, rough situations going on too. And and they've definitely, they washed out well. They survived. So here's to kitchen jammies.
I am going to sick pick a knife sharpening system. I talked about my like knife sharpening block a couple times on podcasts. And I said last time that for Christmas, I was hopefully getting these paper wheels and I got them and they are unreal. So what they are is if you want to sharpen your knives, you can buy these wheels that you put on a bench grinder.
So you have a bench grinder?
I had to buy a bench grinder for this. so like this is like a major investment, not like super expensive, but like you got to like make room for this thing. The way that it works is that you get these two wheels, you put them on, and they come with like this jeweler's rouge that you put on them. And you fire up your bench grinder and you put the your knife on it. And it basically is like, nyeroom, nyeroom. And they get like scary sharp knives in like 2 seconds. Because like the hard thing about the knife stone is that it takes freaking forever. And like you got to like you get the skill down pat and all that. Like I have, I don't know, like 20 knives that I need to sharpen, especially like the little paring knives that we use all day long. Those ones suck when they get super dull. So this was awesome. So the wheels themselves were around $70. And then you got to have a bench grinder, which you can pick up a used one for $20 online pretty quickly. And I am so impressed at these things. It is so fun. It's kind of terrifying because you have to take the safety guards off the bench grinder entirely. And you have like a wheel spinning as fast as hell. And then you've got a knife in your hand.
Yeah.
But if you can put up with the fact that it might like impale you, you get some really, really sharp knives.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So highly recommend. I'll put a link in show notes for it. It's called the paper wheels. You can Google. That's what it's called.
Are you going to make one of those little, like slow motion videos where you throw a cut through it like a samurai?
So on like knife sharpening YouTube, the thing to do is you make what are called piggly wigglies, where you like you slice a piece of paper to show how sharp it is. If you slice a really thin piece of paper, it starts to curl up. And like that's the ultimate on knife sharpening YouTube.
To get a little pigtail.
Yeah.
Dope. Cool. Well, shameless plugs. I have the latest course on Level Up Tutorials at the time of release of this podcast, because I always got to say that because we have a new course every month for those of you who don't know. But the latest course coming to leveluptutorials.com is testing with Cypress. We recently moved all of our UI tests to Cypress, and I absolutely love it. It's my favorite testing platform for many reasons, and we get into the nitty-gritty, but we also teach you how to get up and running with the very most basics of Cypress. This is for people who are new to Cypress and are looking for a better way to test their things that are not having to write individual unit tests for all of your components, because that's a giant pain in the butt.
Awesome. I'm going to shamelessly plug all my courses, westboss.com/courses. You got my Master Gatsby, Beginner JavaScript, Full Stack Advanced React and GraphQL. There's tons of them on there. There's a bunch of free ones, a bunch of paid ones. Check them out, westboss.com/courses, and use the code syntax for $10 off.
Sick. Cool. Well, thank you for letting me critique your website, Wes. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks everyone for submitting theirs as well. That takes some guts to send it over to us. And hopefully you enjoyed it and learned a few things or two.
Yeah. And if you want to have your site, resume, whatever looked at, I don't know, maybe we should start some sort of a way to submit those so that we can make this a semi-regular thing. I would not mind that if people had some interesting sites to share. I would love to, especially maybe we should do a section where people are looking for jobs. And if you are looking for a job, then you submit yours and then we critique it, review it, help share it, those types of things. That could be a definite segment.
I'm in.
Cool. We'll catch you on Monday. Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.